Welcome to the Peaceful Wellness Podcast with me, your host, Deb Phelps. If you are ready to unite with your true nature and find the calm you need to go through this journey called life, then walk a while with me as we learn to be resilient with mind, body, spirit modalities. I am a meditation teacher, mindfulness coach, sound healer, yoga specialist, and these and other modalities have helped me to truly find peaceful wellness within. So let's take a mindful approach together now. Hi friends, it's Deb and welcome to another episode of Peaceful Wellness Podcast. And I'm here with you today. Yes, it's Deb. And I want to share with you this month's theme, which is better sleep. Now, before I get into any details and information, I'd just like to say that if you do have a sustained period of not being able to sleep, you really should talk to your doctor. So with that being said, most people at one point or another have found difficulty in sleeping. A lot of times it's triggered by a stressful event, but it can also be caused by illness, whether physical or psychological. I know in my case, fibromyalgia can contribute to that. Also, migraine disease can also contribute to that. And now, while some illnesses can cause insomnia, sleep and the physiological functions of the body are so intertwined, if you really think about it, that so many conditions can also be exacerbated by or even a result of sleep deprivation. I know at one point or another throughout my life, I've had trouble sleeping. Now, I do have PTSD from different trauma experiences, and that has really contributed besides the pain at times. But what I found over the years, that whether it was the pain with the fibromyalgia or migraine, or even menopause, when I went through menopause, oh, the heat that would be making me sweat and sweat and sweat. Those night sweats are terrible. I'm so glad I'm way past that at this time in my life. But if you are dealing with that, I feel for you. I really do. But it's also, while we're up, we can also get caught in different worry thoughts, what if thoughts, if only thoughts. And then there's that tension that starts to creep into the body, the shoulders, the neck, even feeling sick to the stomach. Trying to work the next day with that little sleep and then thinking about how many hours did I sleep? Is it the same thing going to happen to me tonight? What's going to happen with my sleep? And then sometimes we're up in the middle of the night and we're thinking about all these things. You know, I'm not getting sleep. I'm not getting sleep. I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at the clock. I'm looking at devices, the phones, the tablets, that sort of thing. Feeling totally mentally and physically exhausted. So I hope to share with you some different practices this month that will help you as it has helped me. And I'll share some practices within this podcast today as well. One of the practices that I shared, and I believe I shared it last month too with our anxiety theme, is yoga nidra, or also I like to call it guided rest, because a lot of people don't have a connotation with the word yoga. So really all it is a meditation. And it's designed to promote deep rest and relaxation. And what I would do in the middle of the night, if I was up, because, you know, I went through a period when I was first diagnosed with fibromyalgia of a lot of pain. And so what I would do is I'd get up in the middle of the night and I would let that be my go-to practice. As I said, it promotes deep rest and relaxation. I also was using it during the middle of the day, because I wasn't getting the sleep at night. And really, when you practice for a half hour, hour or two, it's like a couple hours of sleep, because it brings you into that state. And I know for me, I felt calm, I felt relaxed, I felt rested. So that's one of the practices that really helped me with my sleep. Now, another one, of course, is mindfulness. Now, you hear me talk about mindfulness a lot, because that's the main thing that I teach. And mindfulness helps us as well. And we'll be learning more about how the mindfulness helps us with not only falling asleep, but also when we wake up. This month, I'd like to talk about some sleep hygiene. Maybe you've heard about sleep hygiene, maybe you haven't. And I'm going to tell you, if you're listening to this in the middle of the night, don't. Don't look at your device. Don't look at your computer. Don't have a TV in front of you, because that is also going to contribute to your lack of sleep. There are some other things that we can do, and we're going to learn this and practice this together, and you're going to see that it's going to help. Yoga is also going to help, but I'm talking about yoga poses in that. And my friend Dawn's going to be sharing with us some ways that it can help you in your practice. So she'll be coming up this month with me. But just remember that this podcast isn't going to fix all your sleeping problems, but it may help you to understand what's going on and to manage the problems that are occurring. So you may have had trouble sleeping for quite some time, or maybe this is a new experience for you. So hopefully, as we explore this together in a few episodes, it will not make your insomnia disappear by itself, but maybe you'll learn practices that will help you to reduce that overall stress, right? And change the perception of the difficulties in life that occur. And this way you can activate what's internal in the body, that calming response in times of stress. So when we really feel better able to handle the ups and downs of life, our sleep is more likely to improve. So we can know that sleep is really complex, and there's so many factors that influence it, both within our control and out of our control. And we'll explore how that occurs as well. Now, one of the things I said is the TV, the tablet, the phone. That's part of the sleep hygiene, is not to, and you're probably not going to like this because I've told clients before this, when they had anxiety and they can't sleep, don't watch movies on your phone or tablet. And don't watch them in bed. And stop looking at your devices at least an hour or two before going to bed. That's part of the sleep routine that needs to be created. And not too long ago, I was talking with a client that was doing that, and they stopped and they were able to fall back to sleep. Right? So we will learn how to create that sleep routine. Now, if you've been a parent, you probably have heard about creating a sleep routine for your child, right? And I remember learning that when my kids were young. Now, of course, they're all grown up as adults, but it's that, what, giving them a bath, reading a book, you know, maybe soft music. Those are the things that we need to nurture our sleep routine and our sleep hygiene. And that's part of it. It really is. So letting go of those devices, no TV in the room. And I'll be honest with you, we do have a TV in our room, but usually it's not to watch TV at night. It's to go in if somebody else is watching the other TV. And it's hardly ever used, to be honest. But they do say that is not to have a TV in the room, because you're training your brain that bed is for other activities besides sleep and, yes, sex. When we are doing our office work, you know, on a laptop in our bed, if we are flipping through channels, if we're flipping through Facebook, Instagram, all of that, we're training our brain that our bed is for other activities than sleep. And so walking that backwards a little bit is that, what kind of routine can you set up for yourself? So turning off the TV an hour or so before you go to bed, turning off that tablet, turning off that phone. Now, I do read before bed, but I use a Kindle that has an Amazon Kindle that has no backlight to it. Just has that really very light light, and it looks, they say it's like paper like in the sense. And that's what I do, and it doesn't disturb my sleep, you know, falling asleep, that is. I usually fall asleep with it in my hand anyway. But that's another way, is this reading a book, reading something that doesn't have the blue light. And maybe you've heard about this. Tablets, phones, TV, that blue light activates you, keeps you awake. And so when we can bring all this softness down, right? We're reading a book, whether it's on a Kindle, whether it's on a paper book, remember those? Reading in that way. Now, maybe as you're starting your routine, you're adding in maybe a bath. Maybe you're adding in some essential oils, and I'll go into that in a later episode. Maybe you're adding in a cup of warm milk, whether it's dairy or non-dairy, having some Ayurvedic spices to go in there as well. So let me back up and I'll go to the milk drink. Now, I've been very interested in Ayurvedic, which is yoga philosophy. It's an ancient medicine, if you will, and I've been interested in it for many, many years. And I can't say that I'm perfect. I know I'm still doing my studies in Ayurvedic medicine and learning what is beneficial for my body, and that's something that I'm working on for myself. But part of that bedtime routine in Ayurvedic medicine is a super milk. It's actually a nourishing treat, you could call it. And that was one of the things one of my Ayurvedic, actually two Ayurvedic counselors had told me over the years. And so what this is about, you take this about 1 to 2 hours before bed. So you're warming up the milk. You're adding some, maybe some cinnamon to it, maybe some ashwagandha to it, maybe a little bit of ginger or cardamom. There's also a turmeric mix that you can get by Banyan Botanicals. You can buy it on Amazon. That's what I have done. And it has turmeric and has other things like the ashwagandha that I mentioned, the ginger, the cardamom already in it. So you just warm up your cup of milk, whatever milk that is for you, add 1.5 teaspoons of it into the cup. And there you go. And I use that, and it's so helpful. It's really restful for me, and it's very soothing and relaxing. It's a nice evening beverage that really soothes the mind and the body. So that's one thing that you can do. Now, I'll probably be all over the place here, and my apologies for that. But I just want to share a few tips because everybody's like, oh, well, what kind of things can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Because we become so stressed because we aren't getting that sleep. Okay. And you probably have heard hot milk before bed because it helps you to relax anyway. So maybe that's something you can start doing. And now getting this turmeric milk mix, just a powder, you put, like I said, teaspoon and a half, you put it in the milk, it makes a big difference. Of course, as I said, we'll be working with mindful meditation. We'll be working with Yoga Nidra, which is guided rest meditation. The other thing you might want to think about doing is keeping a sleep diary as we move forward, too. Kind of a log as what is going on with my sleep. What did you do before bed? Right? Did you watch TV? Did you have the blue light going on? What was going on? And if you so if you have those issues going on, doing a log is really helpful. So when we're looking, let's go back to that technology. I know, like I said, I've been all, kind of a little bit over the all over the place today because it's like there's so much information that I want to share, and I'm just doing this from the top of my head because I want to share this with you. Now, there's nothing wrong with technology. Hey, I've been in IT for a long time and I love technology. I love gadgets. I love all those things myself. But like I said, it can have a negative impact on our sleep. So any of that smartphone, laptop, tablet, television screen, it's like a mini sun, you can call it, and it emits blue light. And what that does is that it interferes with your production of melatonin. And melatonin is really essential for you to become sleepy. Now, even though I know there are filters on phones and tablets, that nighttime filter that reduces blue light, but I'm telling you, it doesn't remove it completely. And if you think about it, any of these gadgets are a source of distraction. So checking emails, status updates on social media, what that does, it keeps us in a state of hyperarousal. The brain is remaining on alert about what's going to pop up in our inbox. Did somebody respond to my Instagram? All that does is keeps our brain going on that high level, high alert level, you can call it. Instead of being encouraged to wind down in preparation for sleep. So when we keep using that smartphone, particularly if you're using one for work, and what that's doing, it's keeping you connected to the office long after the end of your workday. And when you're still checking those work emails, that sort of thing, texting with people from work, it can lead to that ruminating that really disrupts our sleep then. And if you work from home, and primarily I do myself, it's important to give yourself a mental break. It really is. You have to make a clear distinction between work and then your leisure hours, really. And the same thing with notifications and alerts, because they can interrupt our sleep too. So turn the phone off altogether or make it completely silent so those notifications aren't popping up and making buzzing sounds and dinging sounds and all those different sounds that they can make. Now, we do wake up at night anyway. We do have awakenings, a few awakenings. I believe it's about 10, they say, per an hour of sleep. But a lot of times it's just a few seconds. And usually it's like turning over on another side, that sort of thing. So they're usually forgotten. But if your phone is going off with these alerts, you're more likely to wake up altogether. And if you're experiencing problems with sleeping as is, this can really set off the continued reactive pattern of insomnia. So, you don't have to take my word for it. What you can do is experiment for yourself. Take a couple of nights. Don't look at the phone an hour or two before bed. Drink the milk. Just simple things you can do, right? Don't look at the phone. Don't use it in bed. Don't use your tablet, your laptop, etc. Keep it in another room. And then see what happens with your sleep. See what happens. I like to call things experiments, right? Because I'm not looking for an outcome. I'm just going to see what occurs. What happens if I take away these devices? What happens with my sleep? Does it change? Does it improve? So, if you approach everything you do from that kind of mindset, like this is an experiment, you may find some surprising revelations. So, this is what I'm encouraging you to do. Two things you can do for this particular week. Take away the devices before bed and while you're in bed. And then also drinking some hot milk about an hour or so before bed. And see if those two things help you. Now, I know there's supplements out there that help. I know, like my husband takes melatonin. I take sometimes a, it's from Banyan Botanicals. It's an Ayurvedic. It has some ashwagandha in it. It has some valerian in it, that sort of thing, because I like to be as natural as possible. And occasionally I'll take that. It's not every night. And then I know there's other things. There's prescription drugs as well that you can take. It's really up to you how you want to continue to manage this. But if you can bring in some of these other items, like the milk before bed, like I said, it's turmeric, Turmerici, milk mix. It's on Amazon. I'm not getting a commission on that, believe me. But it's something you might want to look up, see what happens, or just the hot milk itself, turning off those devices. And just see what happens. The thing is when we're not getting enough sleep, you already know how that feels, right? It affects you physically, it affects you mentally, it affects your mood. I know it affects my mood. I am more irritable and reactive if I don't get that sleep, especially if it's because I've awakened because of pain or a migraine coming on at 4 o'clock in the morning, that sort of thing. But I'm even putting those behind me a little bit more as well, with other modalities that I'm using to help me with my pain as well. And mindfulness is one of those. So the more that we can start to realize and pay attention to what we are doing, the more we can make changes that will benefit us so that we are having more of an impact on our sleep. We just need to have a little bit of vigilance in what we're doing. As I said, look at it as an experiment and see what happens. I mean, they have done studies on the brain. When the brain has a lack of sleep, we have slower reactions and responses. I know I do. If I don't have enough sleep, I'm not the same person as when I do get enough sleep. And if this is a chronic problem for you, I'm sorry that it is. But hopefully, some of the things that I'm sharing this month through the podcast and through other resources, you'll find a way to maybe even get a little bit more sleep, right? And when we aren't getting sleep, one of the things that they found is that we remain stuck within our own mind. If we're, they did a study and it was like sleep deprived people showed a significantly greater rigidity of thought for one. They remained stuck on unsuccessful strategies that were no longer effective. And they were inefficient at updating plans to take account of new information. And they failed to develop innovative solutions. This is a study that was done. And then, of course, their performance declined. So there's certainly ways that sleep deprivation affects us, affects our thinking, our performance, as I said, affects our health. And I know this, we start to depend on things like caffeine to stay awake. Right. And then we create a whole vicious cycle with the caffeine as well. So, as I said, do some experimentation for me. Try those few things, starting a routine, having the milk, doing a little bit of relaxation, not looking at the phone, the tablets, the TVs, an hour or so before bed. See what that does for you so far, and then we'll start adding on other things. And one last thing I'd like to add too is that make your sleep a priority. It's a part of your self-care. So if you make sleep a priority, and all the procedures that you can do before, reminding yourself that you are important. Your self-care is important, just like eating well, exercising. It's all a part of our self-care. And we are worthy of having good sleeping habits, good sleep routine. As I said, I've lived through pain. I know it can be difficult when you do have a lot of physical pain. And I have my times too, believe me. But I also know that I have other tools that I can use that help me to make sure that I get as much sleep as I possibly can. So when you are ready in that room, no TV, no tablet, I'm going to keep reminding you that. Make sure the room is cool. Make sure it's dark. Make sure you're comfortable. Don't look at the clock. Maybe turn the clock around the other way so you're not looking at it, because that can be an anxiety producing item, looking at the clock, watching the clock. And as you're establishing this routine, keep yourself on a regular schedule. Try to go to bed at the same time and get up at the same time, even when it's the weekend. And then listen to your body. Go to bed when you're sleepy. Doesn't that make sense? And of course, talked about caffeine earlier, avoiding those stimulants, alcohol, caffeine, etc. In the evening and even sometimes in the afternoon. I know I have to be careful with caffeine in the afternoon. Sometimes it bothers me, sometimes it doesn't. And the thing is I never know which way it's going to go. So these are some starts. I wanted to get some information out about the sleep routine as much as possible before I get started on the meditations and other items that you can do, because those are just as important. But having this sleep routine, I feel, is like number one. Make sure you're making your bed, so to speak. You know, just like when a cat or a dog, you know, they twirl around, they get all their little, I have three cats. So, you know, they do that, you know, making biscuits, and they make the place all nice and comfy for themselves. And that's what we're doing. We're comforting ourselves with these different ideas that I shared with you for your sleep routine. So try that. And then if you like, you can join my class that starts November 7th. And it'll also be an online course too. So if you can't make it to the live class Monday mornings at 8:30 for the month of November, you can purchase it as a course, and I'll be recording the classes. I'll be giving exercises and other handouts as well too. And it's called Mindful Practices for Sleep. And throughout the month in my classes, I will also be adding meditations and other tips and tools as well. Sound healing, definitely. Aromatherapy. And then, of course, my friend Dawn will be doing some yoga. Now, you can join the Facebook group that we have, or you can join the email group. I just created the email group because some people don't like to use Facebook, and I can certainly understand that. And it's the Peaceful Wellness Sangha, S-A-N-G-H-A, Facebook group and email group. And you can find all that information under my website, debphelps.com. Look in the offerings menu, and it'll say November's highlights. Everything's in the November highlights for that. So thank you so much for joining with me today. And I'm just so excited to share so much information with you. And I can't wait to share more with you. So there may be a few more episodes than normal this month because of this, because it, like I said, it's a big thing for me. I know I need my sleep too. And I've been working on this for quite some time. So I can't wait to share more information with you. So thank you so much for joining with me. And as always, I wish you much peace. Thank you, my friends. Thank you for joining with me today. For my weekly classes, meditation and modalities on-demand library, self-study courses, and private sessions, visit my website at peacefulwellness.org.